open hands and open doors. Put your light in my eyes and let me see that my own little world is not about me. What's this bigger picture? What am I missing out? What's this greater purpose that I could be living right now? I won't miss what matters. Who will be reaching out? Show me the greater purpose so I can start living right now.
Something to prove, 'cause I have walked for miles and miles in that same pair of shoes. You refuse forgiveness like it's something to be earned, and sometimes pain's the only way that we can learn. You can never fall too high, so fast, so far that you can't get back. When you're never too late, so bad, so much that you can't change.
told myself you're not enough.
And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It is going to buy the book. Welcome to the Watchman for Jesus program. My name is Thomas Gamble. I am the host of this program. And welcome this afternoon. Family, I think I've got the knack, knock on wood, of this broadcasting to a certain extent. We're back the way we used to be. I think I have now, randomly, I can play my previous broadcast on a random basis. I think I've integrated it enough here to where I can talk. I cut in on it when I have to go to air. And when I'm not talking, I've got five or six of my broadcasts and Bible studies playing on a random basis, I think. I believe it's working like that. And then, of course, when I end the broadcast, within 7 or 8 seconds later, it resumes whatever it was playing before I broke in on it for this regular scheduled broadcast. I think it's working like that. It took me a while to get this rigged up or something and ask questions and what have you, and I think it's working the way it should be. And I'm hoping it's taping or recording or whatever right now. We'll see if that part's been accomplished. Today, I'm going to really upturn some apple carts. Of course, what else is new? But in any case, I know that today is what's called Martin Luther King's Day, I believe it is. I don't go with days. I don't go with birthdays. This is just me. Do what you want. But for myself, personal self, whatever, I don't adhere to days. I don't celebrate my birthday. Well, I celebrate maybe that Jesus brought me in this world to celebrate my life. If I hate my life, there's a problem there, you know. But if I celebrate a birthday, okay, fine. I celebrate God because he brought us here, brought me here, whatever. If that's what I'm going to celebrate, I ain't going to celebrate myself. I don't exalt myself. I'm here as a servant of the Most High. I do, you know, go the Holy Spirit, what he tells me to do in my heart. And I try to keep my own self out of it. It's called self-denial. I don't have a problem with that. I've tried the other way, and it doesn't work. It never has. I've had to try about do it by trial and error. And I said, God, you're in control. Just go with it. And you learn his voice. You know, his voice isn't audible. If you hear an audible voice, I mean this sincerely. If you hear an audible voice in your head, okay, that's what's called voice-to-skull technology. Let me just tell you like it is. Now, on my website, watchmanforjesus.com, you'll find, I haven't been active on my website because I'm trying to figure some things out on it. But I have uploaded two major studies that are part one, part two. And it's about the suicide conspiracy. And rest of it is under construction. I'm just getting the feel of it and trying to manipulate some codes and all whatever, trying to figure this thing out to start putting other stuff I had that I had on my other website that got taken down by folks. Anyway, so I use that as a replacement word, folks. Anyway, so the suicide conspiracy talks about the voice-to-skull technology. Walmart has perfected it, even in their advertisement agenda, to practice with it. Now, we're talking a worldwide scale using ELF transmission and HARP, okay? And it has a lot to do with that constant ringing you get in your ears. That's kind of like a frequency. And when they could turn into Maitreya, the Antichrist that's yet to come, when he starts talking to everyone, in their heads, it's voice-to-skull technology. You won't hear the ringing, you'll hear the voice. Yeah, it's like toning up, you might say. You have towers, ELF transmission towers, throughout the United States and other countries as well. But the United States are increasing, and that is to continue the ELF cloud that they put throughout the United States. The towers, they're not cell phone towers. The big, thick ones are not cell phone towers. They provide the ELF transmissions from HARP. Family, the suicides, murders, these things are caused by voices in the head. I know that sounds crazy, but true. You have 7,800 Marines and sailors and Army and whatever, that soldiers coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan that have a lawsuit against the DOD and CIA for the septal nose implants, the devices. I trace the technology all the way back to 1973. I've got the study for it. So don't tell me no. You can tell me no if you want to, but you'll be shut down with facts. Dr. Ralph Schwetzebel out of Harvard was one of the scientists that conducted this study on behavior, coercive behavior modification techniques of offenders, using offenders as guinea pigs for implants and a transponder with a microchip implant in 1973. And they could actually deliver an electrical shock to your body, to the body of the control group, in 1973. Yes, they had the technology. That was 30-plus years ago. Yeah, what do they got today? It's called the RFID chip is what they got today. Do the math on that. Now, so they intend, like Benjamin Krem of the New Age Movement, Share International, it's all connected. Every bit of this nasty stuff is connected. And they're going to be taken down when Jesus Christ begins the tribulations on their butts. But until then, Satan's going to have the first 3.5 years. Hadn't started yet. You'll know when it does, let me tell you. But hadn't started yet. I threw a lot in there just now. I wonder if y'all caught that. But anyway, this is exactly what's going on. Now today, if you do not want to be waking up, you do not want to hear what the truth is, you better not listen anymore today, because I'm going to give you solid truth, and it's not going to be pleasant. I don't intend on being pleasant. I intend on telling you the truth. And the truth isn't always pleasant. You see, but I will tell you something pleasant. One thing is they've lost. And the Joint Chief of Staff and the Illuminati and the Knights of Columbus, Knights of Malta, and Jesuits and the Druids and all these guys, witchcraft, they're all in the same ball of wax. They better come to grips with their loss, because their losing is going to take place when God's had enough. And I'm going to tell you something else, too, it's documented. The Illuminati, the Great White Brotherhood, they are going to kill every Freemason. And those in the highest level of secret societies will die, because they won't need you anymore. And it shows throughout history that when they're done with you, they kill you, and they will kill you. So you better get out of there and get with God, get through Jesus Christ. You see, because that's your only hope. Now you got the white hats, you got the, I don't know, Knights Templar and all that are the separate from the U.S. administration that's connected to the Jesuits. It's a little complicated here, but you've got, and I found this, now it's written, I found another documentation from congressional records of 1940 that all along, the monarchy in England, Britain, has been wanting to reclaim the United States as its colony. Now, we are a colony right now, today, officially. But the facade and the lie is that we're a country, and we have stars and stripes and independence and democracy and republic and all that. Constitution, that's all a lie. It's baloney. And those judges from Harvard and judges and lawyers from Harvard, and they know that, too. That's why they're under oath to keep their mouth shut. Or somebody will spank their little honey butts, you see. They won't get all that little money they've made from Harvard and charging $200 an hour, whatever. They'll lose that because they'll either die or they'll kick them out and disbar them for telling the truth, about how we're a colony of England, how the Constitution's rendered null and void in 1938 by Tompkins versus Erie Railroad. We've never had a democracy in our history, according to FDR, March 4th, 1939. Oh, family, the research, you got to do it, and you'll find out the truth. They've been lying all along, you see. Now, this is not disappointing. This is not depressing and all that. This is the truth. So you just pull up your bootstraps, you get moving on, and get on with it, and look straight ahead, forward, not back, forward. I'm telling you the back so you'll know where we're headed to. You see what I mean? So that's what the story is. Partially. I'm just getting wound up. Now I'm going to dedicate the broadcast right now before I get too wound up, because I got a lot of wound up things to talk about today. Oh, it's going to be a slam dunk today, I hope. What happens? It's, between now, 4 and 6 p.m. Then tonight, 8 to 10, not necessarily a continuation, but who knows what I'll say tonight. This week is important that we get the truth out. You know, and I'm going to record it. I hope it's recorded. I hope I did it right this time. because I did some changes and stuff and whatever, so it might have messed something up, but we'll see. So y'all take good notes now here. So, you know, but tonight, 8 to 10, RevelationRadioNetwork.org, RevelationRadioNetwork.org. I'll be on from 8 to 10 on another network. It's usually a pretty good broadcast. Well, no, it's a pretty good broadcast. It's a real good broadcast. There you go. And a lot of people there this time. Anyway. Oh, boy, I tell you. I'm going to get fired up this week because I don't know about y'all, but something's coming. I mean, they're pulling the straps up. They got something brewing in Harp or something brewing in the false flag. I don't know what. But whatever it is, we're ready for it. You know why? Because we believe in Jesus Christ. And we know they've lost already. So whatever it is, bring it on. Because whatever it is they bring it on, they're getting closer to their destruction. And Jesus is the only one that'll do it. Not mankind. Not some military coup like they tried five times already. And all five times failed. One in 1776, that failed miserably. We've remained a colony of England ever since. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah, we did. Don't say even start saying no, because the evidence, the congressional records, everything confirms it. You see, that's okay, because we know where we are. And I'm going to give you details of how they set this darn thing up today. Some stuff you might not have heard before. Some stuff today that you have heard before, but that's to put it the new stuff in perspective. Lord, we thank you today that we come together in the broadcast once again, Lord. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Father, we lift up to you our thanks. We lift up to you our humbleness. And, Father, we lift up to you our sins. And, Lord, you forgive us of our sins. Father, that we pray for our brethren. We pray for our family members that have taken on these vaccines, have taken on these pills and all these things have been given. And, Father, they have dementia. They have Alzheimer's. They have all these autism and things going on that, Lord, it are caused by mankind's vaccinations, are caused by various things that they've produced that we've taken in, that, Lord, we know they've been targeted. But, Lord, we call upon you that you will heal these diseases, these losses of memory, and, Father, to heal their bodies, that, Lord, to bring them back to their families, that they can share the gospel, and Father, that we'll see miracles happen in some of these rest homes. And, Father, you shut down the technology that they're using to keep them down, and Father, use your Holy Spirit to raise them up. Father, we pray for our returning servicemen from Iraq and Afghanistan, that, Lord, you'll render null and void those psychotropic drugs and those pills that, Father, that have the microchips inside the pills, and, Father, that these implants they have in their body, you'll render them null and void and cover them with the blood of Jesus, that they'll destroy those effects of these microchips and such, Lord, that people don't know they're there. And, Father, they can't know they're there. They can't pray against it. But, Lord, we need that awareness and that raising up of the knowledge that will show us how to spiritually discern these things that they've put into this technology that they've integrated. And, Father, how they've divided and separated us, that, Lord, we can come together in the love of Jesus. And, Lord, fight this through spiritual prayer. Lord, we pray for our country's leaders, that, Lord, they'll come out of these secret societies, they'll renounce the blood oath and have the courage at least once, Father, the courage to step away from their blood oath and renounce the blood oaths and come into Jesus Christ, the Lord. Father, we pray that you'll show us the end times events, that you'll give us that discernment and wisdom, especially to the pulpits today. Father, the churches are pulling away, and, Lord, to bring the truth about the King James Bible to bear, that, Father, they'll learn what the truth is through the King James Bible. And, Lord, to put upon their hearts the conviction to preach the truth to their brethren instead of preaching the diversion and false Bibles. Lord, we call upon you for all of these things, we pray. In the name of your Son, Jesus, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Family, I'm going to try to not go from one thing to the next. Although it's all connected. Sometimes it seems like it's not, but it really is. It's all connected. Everything's connected. And if you do the research, you'll say it's like one of those head slappers. Wow, wow, boy, wow. And before long, you got a headache from slapping your head so many times from all these realizations of how this is all connected. It's amazing. You see, I mean, it really is. And I talked to some people this weekend, off and on, is what I do. And people just kind of look at you like, man, you lost me about 20 minutes ago. You know, because people, it's hard to, we're taught a certain way in high school, grade school, whatever you call it today, high school and college and so forth, and raised up through churches that, you know, so we got these habits, and now we got these cultural type, inclinations of each culture, black and white and red and Chinese and so forth. Did I leave anybody out? Anyway, I know I hadn't had any coffee today. I'm just this way today. And so, you know, I guess I should slow down because I guess people are taking notes maybe, possibly. I got a lot of things going to open y'all's eyes up today, and you're not going to like some of it. But it's just some things I found out this weekend and things coming together and focusing on Martin Luther King Day. And again, I'm not really celebrating Martin Luther King's Day per se, but I see it as an opportunity to bring up this, what I got to talk about. It's kind of ironic that it's Martin Luther King's Day, because it has a lot to do with him as a person and a Christian. But it has a lot to do with his era that there was four during that era of time of our history that were heroes. JFK, Bobby Kennedy, and Martin Luther King, and Malcolm X, absolutely. And notice something they all have in common. They were assassinated. Now, you can't get by that, because that's documented in history. But you'll find Jesse Jackson's never been. You'll find LBJ wasn't ever. You'll find Lincoln, Reagan and Carter, the peanut farmer, and Bush, one and Bush two, and Clinton, and FDR, they weren't assassinated, at least not in public view. FDR, that's another story, but you'll find out they weren't assassinated. Now, why was the others assassinated? Why in that period of that 1960s at four, great Americans were assassinated that were really trying to bring forth peace for their people, but weren't working with the Jesuit agenda. Yeah, because they weren't working for him. You see, that's the difference. Now, whether I agree with Malcolm X or not, it's not the issue. I'm not giving you my opinion on that. I mean, that's here and there. But he really was working for his people, not the... See, we all four had a common enemy. We all have a common enemy. The Chinese people, the Russian people, the African people, the American people, the Germans, everybody below the elite, they all have a common enemy. The Muslims, the Jews, it doesn't make a difference. They all have a common enemy. And that is the secret societies. The Jesuits, Druids, the Luciferians. That's the enemy of mankind. And those in secret societies are of enemies within themselves as well. They will kill each other. Of that, there's no doubt. William Morgan proved that out because they killed him. Almost lost Freemasonry in the 1800s. Hey, buddy. Oh, yeah. Not in Muslims. It's not Jews. Secret societies. And they will kill each other at the highest level. There's no doubt about that. And the Vatican are murderers. And the churches, the Jesuits, and the churches today are following suit because they believe they have power and strength, and they do not. Jesus Christ does. They don't. And they're not of God. No stretch about it. Nope, not whatsoever. See, I told you I wasn't going to like what I had to tell you today, but all this is true. Evidence is abound. We're taught from high school, grade school, in seven areas of our lives that are perfectly controlled. That should be a little bit of an idea. Education, philosophy, religion, science, the arts, politics, and finance. Those seven areas of our lives are perfectly controlled by the elite. Religion is baloney. Jesus Christ is not about religion. And the churches today are lying about the Sabbath, about the 10% tithing. They're lying about that. It's not in the Bible for the New Testament. No, sir. It's not. And yet they hit you up about 3 or 4 times during the church service. Jesus Christ fulfilled the tithing law. Jesus Christ fulfilled the Sabbath law. He is the fourth commandment. Jesus Christ is the Sabbath. Jesus Christ is the tithing. Well, now that I'm talking about it, that probably brings up some ears and eyeballs and eyebrows, so I might as well explain it, huh? Because you see, excuse me, to keep the Sabbath, you'll notice, to keep the Sabbath are all Old Testament scripture. Exodus 20, 8 and 9, Exodus 23 and 31, 20, 23 and 31 talks about the Sabbath. Deuteronomy 5 verse 12, Leviticus 26 verse 2. Okay, Leviticus 26, 2, Deuteronomy 5 verse 12, Exodus 31 verse 15, Exodus 23 verse 12, and Exodus 20 verse 8 and 9. But they all have something in common, their Old Testament. Now, to don't keep the Sabbath on one particular day is Romans 14 verse 5. What's the difference? Would it be the Messiah was born, died, resurrected, and ascended? Yeah, that'd be it. Uh-huh. And he says specifically, I did not come to abolish the law. And so those that want to continue, like Seventh-day Adventists and all these others, say, well, no, you're violating the Bible, blah, blah, blah. They, and the Hebrew Roots movement and all, whatever movement it is, Baal movement, who cares what movement it is, whatever, you know. No, 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 no. Jesus Christ fulfilled that law. I'll tell you why. Romans 14, verse 5, that be New Testament, says, one man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Now, they love to ignore that when I give it to them. Man, they don't pay no attention to that whatsoever. They just go back like a spring rubber band, back to what they were saying, like you didn't say a word. And they start throwing scriptures at you that don't mean lick a sense. Doesn't even fit the category. Just try to confuse you. And I say, whoa, 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 whoa. I said, back up now. Why'd you ignore that scripture I just gave you? And then number 2, Colossians 2, verse 16. I said, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days. And I told somebody this morning, I said, did you miss the word Sabbath in Colossians 2:16? I said, you miss that word? It's spelled S-A-B-B-A-T-H. Go back and look at it, and it says Sabbath. You can't get no clearer than that. And it's like they just don't see it. You see, it was a custom then of the Jews that they came together on the Sabbath, which is Saturday, cease work, worship God, one of the Ten Commandments. It's listed in Exodus 20, 1 to 17. Now, only 9 of them were reinstituted in the New Testament. 6 in Matthew 19, 18, murder, adultery. Murder, adultery, stealing, false witness, honor thy parents, and worshiping God. Romans 13, 9, coveting, worshiping God properly, covers the first 3 commandments. The one that was not reaffirmed was the one about the Sabbath. Instead, God said that he is the Lord of the Sabbath. Now, you can't get no cleaner than that, no plainer, you know. You can sit there at that green light all you want and just sit there and sit there when the horns blow. But I trust me, it's not going to get any greener. So you might as well just go through the light when it's green. Okay, you understand? So if you read Matthew, Matthew 12:8. Let's read in the King James Bible. All right. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. Whew. That's pretty clear. Well, to me anyway. I mean, I read that word for word in red lettering. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. That's plain to me. Now, in creation, yes, God rested on the seventh day. But since God's all powerful, he doesn't get tired. So he doesn't need to take a break and rest. So why does it say he rested? Well, Mark 2:27 will tell you why. If you go to Mark 2:27, he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Now, that's pretty popular to talk about and use that. In other words, God established the Sabbath as a rest for his people. Not because he needed a break, but because we're mortal. You need time of rest. But focusing on God, and in this, our spirits and bodies are both renewed. Now, the Old Testament system, that law that Jesus Christ fulfilled, is part of the overall moral and the legal and the sacrificial system that the Jewish people satisfied God's requirements, and this for their behavior. He had to tell them what to do, specifically, and the government, and forgiveness of sins. So all government's ordained by God. When the government gets ugly, God will change it. When man does it, they just put somebody else ugly back in. And always have. Always will. No man is not a sinner. We all are sinners. So you go, mankind's got the wisdom to change governments? Since when? It's never happened. So you got one more time that's going to be different in all of history of mankind? The only true benevolent government we've had in the history of mankind has been during the period of King James. That's a fact. That's why the Vatican, through Spain, was going to invade England in 1588 with the Spanish Armada. It got destroyed three quarters because of winds, rain, and storm, and the English guns destroyed the rest of the Spanish ships, sucked them to the bottom of the ocean, and the Vatican failed in 1588, now they had acquired France and made them Roman Catholic before 1588 at the St. Bartholomew Massacre, where they murdered, the Vatican murdered with monks, Augustinian monks and Roman Catholic troops, murdered 70,000 to 100,000 people in 1 week. I'd say that pretty much makes it Catholic, Roman Catholic. These are facts. And then the Pope said the rosary for the victory. That's sick. You see? And then they set their eyes on England because England was being targeted by the Jesuits to infiltrate, and the English people were not buying off on this Roman Catholic heresy. They weren't taking off on the Septuagint and the Apocrypha and the Douay Rheims and all that. Matter of fact, those three documents the King James translators ignored, except toward the end when two Jesuits insisted in 1611 to insert the Apocrypha in the middle of the King James Bible. That lasted till the 1800s, and then next time they came up with the new edition, they removed it. Tossed it out of there. That's another story. The Apocrypha comes from Origen, O-R-I-G-E-N, a Greek philosopher in the 5th century. A lot of stuff I just threw at you, I know. But the Jesuits could not get people to buy off on the Roman Catholic doctrine before 1588, so to make sure it happened, they decided to launch an attack on England. Well, point is, didn't make it. And about 20 years later, a benevolent Christian-born king by the name of King James became king. Well, that would be king, wouldn't it? His sons were also Christian, real Christians, that is. And this is evidenced by letters he wrote to Prince Henry. I believe it's Prince Henry, one of his sons. So we got the evidence. When they say, well, King James was a pedophile, King James was a homosexual, King James was a Mason and tyrant, they have no evidence whatsoever, zero. And that didn't start till 20 years after King James' death. Cowards. So, God's in control. Really, you think back on it, that is the only benevolent government. And it was controlled by God. It was controlled by God to make sure his word was transcribed and translated perfectly into the King James Bible. And these are facts. This is not speculation at all. Sabbath day. The Sabbath was a part of the law of the Old Testament in that sense. So in order to remain, say, in favor with God, you had to keep the Sabbath. If it was not kept, then the person was in sin, would be punished. Ezekiel, Romans 6:23, Deuteronomy 13:1-9, Numbers 35:31, and Leviticus 20:2. But with Jesus, his atonement, justification by faith, Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're no longer required to keep the law, and hence the Sabbath, which was only a shadow of things to come. Colossians 2:16-17. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of a holy day, or of the new moon, or the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. They want you to come to church on Saturday for Saturnalia worship, the black sun, Satan. And then Sunday is the Catholic point of view with Constantine, who is a worshiper of Baal, sun god, worship of sun god, Christmas, the same thing. And Easter, the same thing. I'm sorry, family, but these are pagan holidays covered over by a Christian overshadow. It's not true. Every day is a worship day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every day, not just one day. Not just one. Every day. See? Do what you want. I mean, you know, I ain't saying nothing about birthdays and all that, but I know for me only. Just my feeling. I never have. I always wondered why. People say, Tom, we're going to do a birthday? No, man. No, it's just another day. So what? You know, for me, I don't care. If I was going to celebrate my birthday or whatever, then I would, you know, I'd celebrate, well, Jesus Christ had me born on this day. Whatever. You know, I celebrate him, not me. He's the one that gave us eternal life. I didn't. I didn't save myself. Jesus Christ saved me on the cross when I gave him my life. And I said, I'll follow you and you alone. And I mean him alone. Not no country, no the family, nothing. Nothing. I mean nothing. Jesus Christ is who I follow. That's it. I'm done. That's it. You see, because I found out about these flags. And I found out about what they lied about in the history. And there's a problem there. I don't like lies. I told my number of them when I was married two or three times, whatever, and I repented. You understand? I got, you know, and so I said, well, I'm going to tell the truth. Might as well. So I looked for the truth. Wow. What I found out is mind-boggling. It was for me anyway. But I don't like living the lie and living fantasy. You know, it's on TV. That's fantasy. Even in the news. It's all scripted. Everything's scripted, by the way. Anyway, but we're no longer required to keep the law and the Sabbath day, which is only a shadow of things to come. We're not under the law, but grace. Ever hear that before? We're under grace. This is important to know. And by doing the Sabbath, by doing the 10%, they got you. They want your money. They want you to control. They want you to come to mega churches to have that unpersonal feel so that it takes you away from Jesus Christ. Oh, they say Jesus here and Jesus there, kind of like it's a checkoff point. They don't mean it. I'll tell you that right now. God take care of that. He's got their number. He's got their names. That's God's business. That's between the preachers, rabbis, and priests, and God. He'll take care of that. That's for sure. You see. What is our job? Our job, reprove, correct. But number one job, that's number two. Number one job is to spread the word of the gospel to other people. Now, your Calvinists will disagree with that. And your Calvinists are wrong. That's their opinion. And their opinion is wrong. It's not in the scripture. The scripture, the Great Commission, is where he told the disciples to go out and spread the word of the gospel. This is non-negotiable. You see, because it's in the Bible. You know, it's not based on opinion either. And the Ten Commandments are not 10 suggestions. The Ten Commandments. You know, it's about time somebody, you know, people started sticking up for God, sticking up for Jesus Christ, not some silly Super Bowl game or something that's going to be, they already picked out who's going to win anyway. You know, it's just all nonsense. I used to play football as an athlete, and I loved football and all this, and I loved hitting people and all this, that, and the other. I've been there. But family, I learned what the truth is, and I ain't going to hold back. Not a lick. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Now that right there tells you can't do what you want to do. You're still under the Ten Commandments. And the fourth one's fulfilled by Jesus. It's real simple, actually. This Sabbath day is fulfilled in Jesus Christ, because in him we have our rest. Well, Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Well, there's your rest. You're not under obligation to keep the law. And this goes for the Sabbath as well. Where two or more are gathered in his name. It's not four walls. It's not a religion. Not even Christianity. It's so convoluted and corrupted. You got to be kidding me. They don't even use the St. Right Bibles. They use every Bible but the King James nowadays. And Bibles that even today, they got children's Bibles based on NIV. They got Bibles today, the Message and all kinds of trash like that. You might as well include it literally with Harry Potter's books. It's witchcraft. And I mean that literally. Because it corrupts the Bible. Scriptures and what they're supposed to mean, and it in fact does put a curse on those that read it. I know that sounds crazy, but it's actually true. They are cursed. And they're tricky. You know, they got pink Ouija boards. I guess the pink color renders it null and void, and the demons don't like pink, so they just go away. Oh, whoa. And you know, Jesus also fulfilled any need for any graven image. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that's in heaven above, or that's on earth beneath, or that's in water under the earth. No graven image, no cross. Cross don't do nothing for you. Holy Spirit's within you. That's what Jesus Christ fulfilled. Any need for some sacrifice of animals or sacrifice of Sabbath rest or 10% tithing or whatever. Jesus Christ fulfilled that. People got to wear a cross on their neck for what? Keep vampires away? No. Don't do that either. The name of Jesus will. And these vampires aren't vampires. They're demons. You know what they are, don't you? Worship on 31 October. It's demonic. And the drinking of the blood, there's more to it than just some iconic vampire movie. It's done in real life. Because you're taking the soul. The life force of those that do the ritual is real. Only by prayer and fasting. The family, silver bullets, holding the cross up, driving a stake in the heart. Oh, gosh, garlic. That just makes you lose friends. Garlic does. You know. But there's no power in the rosary beads. There's no power in the cross. Jesus is off that cross. The power is inside you. When you take the Holy Spirit in your life, God's inside you through the Holy Spirit, but he's not if you're not. All you got to do is call upon his name. It's not Yeshua. If you're a Hebrew and you're reading the Hebrew Bible that's translated from the King James into Hebrew, and the Jesus you say Yeshua in Hebrew is the same Jesus in the Bible, that's different. But his English, his name's Jesus. And let me tell you the trick there. They're trying to get everybody to say Yeshua, Yeshua, to go back to Hebrew Roots Movement, and I'll tell you why. And right now as we speak, this very second, we got an hour to go. You can search Sananda, S-A-N-D-A, Sananda Emmanuel, and that's a fallen angel, and you link it up with Yeshua and that fallen angel working with human initiates today. And 35 or 40 years ago, is calling himself Yeshua. So if you get everybody calling Yeshua, when he comes out of disclosure and announces himself to exist to the natural, to the public, you're already used to using the word Yeshua. That will facilitate turning away from Jesus Christ. I don't know if y'all caught the implication of what I've just said, but it's massive. It's mind control. Speaking of which, Martin Luther King, one of the greatest men in our history, JFK, Bobby Kennedy, Malcolm X, Lincoln, finally, McKinley, and all those have something in common. They're killed by the same organizations. That's a fact. Freemasons, Jesuits, Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, Knights Templar, blah, 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 blah. Because themselves, they believe, they're taught that they're going to be saints because they're a good Muslim, a good, well, Shriners, they put their hand on the Quran when they swear an oath. They don't tell them that in the first, second, third degree Freemasons. I think maybe tomorrow, I'll focus more on the news and how it applies to their agenda. This is significant. Significant stories going on today in the news, but I'll cover this tomorrow. But you need to know what massive amount of manipulation that's been done to your ancestors that today is affecting your thinking, your minds, perfectly. Now, history books, you got to be kidding me. History books have been totally fabricated by Carnegie Peace Foundation and Rockefellers and the Freemasons going back to the early 1900s. All right? Completely, totally manipulated. They don't tell you that the reality is. Now, if y'all don't like the truth here, you don't have to listen to it. I mean this sincerely, because you're not going to like it. And it's a little mind-boggling, because you're going to get a little confused, some of you, and some of you are going to get mad at me. But I'm not here to win votes. I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to tell you the truth, and it's documented. That's the other part of it. And I can't, I just can't ignore it when my heart says I got to say it. You know, I could talk about all this stuff, the racket denar. I could talk about the restructure. I could talk about the financial system. You could need to buy gold and all this stuff. All that is here and there, buy freeze-dried food and so forth and so on. I go all about that, and we could talk about all kinds of stuff, and I could tell you jokes on the air. But I don't see that coming around this way, because things are more important are happening. You understand? And I don't believe in scripting. And I go with the Holy Spirit. All that being said, I'm just speaking right off the top of my head and heart, and I know where to pull off stuff and talk and this, that, and the other, and I talk right down to earth, too. You know, I don't hit you with words that are big and all this. I just want to talk natural, you understand? And not confuse people. Although I do hit you a lot of stuff, I know. The basic bottom line is kind of summarized in 1946. By this wheeler and dealer called Brock Chisholm, C-H-I-S-O-L-M, Brock, oh Brock there. He's director of the United Nations World Health Organization. Is that high enough for you? He expressed a globalist view, and these are the principles, strategy that's been executed perfectly. Quote, oh, by the way, he's a Unitarian, of course. He died in 1971, and he's operating as the as a director from his Canadian director, United Nations World Health Organization, 46 to 48. Okay. He said, I quote, to achieve world government, it is necessary to remove from the minds of men their individualism, loyalty to family tradition, national patriotism, and religious dogmas. Unquote. Now, they plan this over generations of time. Brock Chisholm is simply reflecting the way he was trained that goes back to 1776, back to the 1400, as it's carried through by supernatural entities called Lucifer and the fallen angels, and channeled, picking up scientists and avatars along the way. As a matter of fact, to show you I'm not... Oh, here it is. I give you a quote from a clergyman that was approached by William G. Carr when he wrote a book called Red Fog Over America. And his initial writing of it, 1955, I've got the absolutely original copy. It's very difficult to find the original, and I didn't want the copies. I thought something might be left out. I got the absolute original, first edition, 1955. And he presented this to a clergyman to make sure he's on track, and here's what the clergyman told him. And it's written in the book, quote, that, as Henry Ford remarked so many years ago, Henry Ford was a communist too, by the way. He's an industrialist. He was not a good guy. Neither was Albert Edison either. Both of them were just... Anyway, J.P. Morgan controlled them all. Quote, that, as Henry Ford remarked so many years ago, is the amazing thing about the protocols. Break the protocols of the protocols of the learned elders of Zion. A Jesuit-produced document, Adam Weishaupt, 1776, May the 1st, and he was channeled, and it's not Jewish, it's Jesuit. Now, the Jews have a part in this now. Don't get me wrong. But the Jesuits, controlled by the Illuminati, the Roman, Italian, and German, they're controlled by inner sanctum of the Illuminati that a lot of people don't know about. They ain't Jews, neither. All right, continuing. I try to keep from interrupting myself. is the amazing thing about the protocols. No person who studied them can deny that the conspiracy has developed exactly as those who conceived the original plans intended. Now, this is William G. Carr speaking, continuing. One clergyman with whom I discussed, William G. Carr, discussed this matter, remarked, the clergyman said, I quote, "Nothing human could have been so absolutely correct and so perfect in regard to timing and purpose. You have convinced me that the international conspiracy is the conspiracy of Satan," unquote. Supernatural. But you must also understand, family, another great truth, that Edmund Burke said, all that's necessary for the triumph of evil is that good men sit back and do nothing. Now, this does not mean to go down to a military store and buy a weapon. Now, keep your weapons. You got to keep your weapons. But I'm not, here's the point is, a revolution, armed rebellion revolution, will never work. Protection of homes, oh yeah. Against the government, you got a problem. You got to look at the implications. I'm not going there today. I've talked about this before. That's another 15 minutes of me ranting and raving about Romans 13. I believe in home protection. I believe in keeping your weapons. But going against the government, you got to understand what you're going up against. And then again, the revolution that's coming for the fifth time in our history is by evil men against evil men. Why the other is evil? I'll tell you why. They took a blood oath against you. Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, Freemasons at the highest level. Yes, they're trying to preserve the United States as a country. But then, so they could take over world government too. They don't tell you that. That's the part they don't tell you. You see, it's just a fight over who's going to take control of the world government is all it is. So one pot for the kettle. You got the same thing going on. A lot of the ones below them are fooled into thinking it's for God, and it's certainly not. Now, moving on, watch what happens here. In these protocols, and this leads up to a basic background work I'm getting ready to talk about. The Illuminati fear personal initiative of individuals. Now, y'all got to follow me here for the next 45 minutes, because all this is linked up to just a mind-blowing thing I'm going to tell you today. The Illuminati fear your personal initiative. As proved by what they say in Article 5, Roman numeral 5, paragraph 11 of the scheme or the protocols. This is why now they want to take felons, which I'm going to talk about probably tonight, I guess, tonight, Revelation Radio Network. I'm going to talk about how they're going to use felons as your police force coming. I may not get around to it today. We'll see. But in any case, because a felon in prison, they have that free thinking going on, and they take personal initiative. But the goyim, and that'd be us, we went through a training process called brainwashing since we're born. So when people break out of that brainwashing, they start thinking on their own, away from normal. And so, unfortunately, that sometimes breeds criminal activity, because they go against the norm. You see? So that's why they're going to use felons instead of letting them. They're going to kill the ones that don't join, and those that take the satanic oaths and so forth, Masonic oaths. They're going to employ them as your special security forces in the United States, because the felons will be beholden to those that freed them. And it's that loyalty they're looking for, and be paid too. And they'll have no inclination toward the deity of Jesus Christ at all. Quite aversive to it. And they're promised to be given carte blanche on the population. Now, the New Agers don't know this. Do as thou wilt is the whole of the law. Yeah, well, there's a double-edged sword to that one they haven't found out yet. But the population of felons are going to release in the public. Anyway, so here's what they say in their scheme. Quote, there's nothing more dangerous than personal initiative. If it has genius behind it, such initiative can do more than can be done by millions of people among whom we have sown discord. We must be so direct and so direct. The education of the Goyim communities that whenever they come upon a matter requiring initiative, they may drop their hands, despairing impotence. It means brainwashed. When they say Goyim, they mean the white, black, Indian, Hispanic, and Chinese. And any of them I missed. That's Goyim to them. Keep that in mind. And then they're going to label it liberalism to control. Now, that being said, you can trace that back. Now, there is a worldwide conspiracy orchestrated by a tribe of genetically related individuals that includes the very wealthy, politically powerful corporate elite of the world. They're called the Black Nobility of Europe. And the tribe of Dan, the Jewish tribe of Dan, the 13th tribe that was disinherited after Jacob, they were taken out of the inheritance along with Ephraim and replaced by two more tribes. That tribe of Dan intermingled bloodline-wise with Sananda Manuel's bloodline. That's the Jesus they think their bloodline with, a fallen angel. They gave their life to Lucifer, this black nobility. They have the bloodline of fallen angels and human. Who? Queen Elizabeth II, Bush, all those in Merovingian bloodline, all of them. And that's why, if you do the research, you'll find slam dunk, irrefutably, all of our presidents are in the same bloodline as Queen Elizabeth II of the black nobility. Appointed as president, never elected in our history. Now that really blows the history books right out of the story, don't it? Now these are facts, though. To manifest their agenda through skillful manipulation of human emotions, strength, anguish, fear. They have what's called the dialectic. Problem, reaction, solution. They present you a problem, false flag, whatever, on a national scale or a cultural scale. They have a reaction and they provide the solution. They own both sides always. They create the problem by funding, assembling, training an opposition group. They create the movement, then they put an opposition group in, and then they create a radical group inside the movement. Oh, yeah. You see? They created Islam in the 6th century. The Vatican did. The Vatican created Islam, 6th century. For example, to encompass the Arabs, the children of Ishmael, that would not adhere to the Roman Catholicism before the 6th century, they created a religion called Islam with the promise of Messiah coming with the Arabs that were consolidated into Islam, Roman Catholic. They would go out to their Bedouin groups and say, you have a Messiah coming. For this one, we have Islam. But they were actually Jesuits trained as Arabs. You see what happened? And then when they had Islam, which is a peaceful religion, then they created in 1920s the Muslim Brotherhood, which is the radical group within the religion of Islam. In the same way, you have this civil rights movement to free the slaves, right, to free the blacks. Then inside they create Muslim Brotherhood, the Black Panthers. In the same way, Christian Identity, Christians, you create the KKK, for goodness sakes alive. An Aryan nation. See, they always follow suit. So, what happened in the 1500s? Same thing. The white folk in Europe did not come over to Roman Catholicism in 1500 something another. They took two Jesuits by the name of John Calvin and Martin Luther and came up with Protestantism. Protest, Protestant, protest, Protestantism, to justify and identify those that rejected Roman Catholicism and then began the massacres. Now you understand where Ignatius Loyola came from and the Jesuits. They had to produce Protestantism, then a radical group, and they go after it. And the rest of them moved to guess where? 1492. Started the movement to the North American continent. By the year 1500, it's all set up. Why would someone leave Europe to go to some place they don't know unless you're being murdered and slaughtered? And that's exactly, let's call it what it is. They left Europe to go to the North American continent. Who was the indigenous population of North American continent? The Indians and the Mexicans, by the way. They look a little Arab, don't they? Yeah, guess where Jesus came from? Shem. Guess what part of the world? Middle East. Yeah, well, Jesus Christ is not blonde-haired, blue-eyed. Looks more like Indian. Looks more like Islam. Looks more like, Muslims than he does blonde-haired, blue-eyed. Guess who's blonde-haired, blue-eyed? Sananda Manuel, the fallen angel. Y'all getting the point now, what's going down? Now, some of y'all is racist out there. You ain't going to like what I'm saying on either side. But I'm telling you what the truth is. We don't know what Jesus Christ looks like. But I'll tell you what he ain't. He ain't blonde-haired, blue-eyed. Because he comes out of the Middle East. Ishmael. Jacob. Come from the same father. And Isaac. They come from the same father. Do the math on that. Huh? In the Middle East. Ho-ho. Now. I'm going to read you something, and now I'm not into this racial garbage. I never have been. I never will be. I don't count on ever being. So I'm telling you what they're doing. All right. So I'm not giving you my opinion about race. I'm not giving you an opinion about all that. I'm telling you neutrally what's actually being done. In the year 1712, now, was a year that they started bringing slaves over. Now, who came first? White boy, white bread came over to the North American continent. Who was here first? Listen to what I'm saying here now. The Indians and the Mexicans. And the Nephilim. You ever heard that before? Yes, sir. The Nephilim were here first. The Nephilim, the Indians, and the Mexicans. And then here come white men. So after the Indians finally eliminated the Nephilim, 12 to 15 foot giants, look up skinwalkers. They had major problems with Nephilim, giants, in the American plains before the year 1600s. And here comes white man after the 1500s, 1492. Because they wanted to make the North American continent the new Atlantis with a completely hybrid human being called the melting pot of the world. Since the 1500s until the year 2014. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And they have accomplished this. It has been accomplished. National Geographic, October issue. The Changing Faces of America. They have made the hybrid of all the races mixed into one. Now. Evidence. Here come the evidence. Choo-choo. In the planning process, the protocols. Quote, after the nations have been merged into an international state, the directors intend to crown the king of the Illuminati, king despot of the universe. Well, that's a flowerful way of saying the Antichrist. It is documented here. What the public must never forget, quote, that they must keep reminding their elected representatives, a little late now, of the fact that the leaders of the communism or atheistic materialist and the leaders of the Illuminati believe that Satan is the all-powerful supernatural force. The Illuminati intend to use atheistic communism, Zionism, internationalism, and all the isms up to a certain point. But when nations have been merged in an international state, the directors then intend to crown the king of the Illuminati, king despot of the universe, said twice. Now, quote, Red Fog Over America, William G. Carr, 1955. The agentur of the Illuminati will next proceed to eradicate racial characteristics by mixing the black, red, yellow, and white races. This experiment has already been carried out on a large scale. Remember this. Quote, Dr. Brock Chisholm, again, his name comes up, quote, has advocated on the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation that by, quote, mixing the races, all racial problems would disappear, unquote. And the next part of their plan, after that happened, before the year 1900, by the way, quote, the next step of the plan would be to render the masses docile and obedient to their masters. This is to be accomplished by mass medication. Experiments along these lines have already been conducted extensively since the year 1900, as has been told previously. Fluoridation fits perfectly in the phase of this conspiracy, unquote. So today, they have what's called microchips. Now you get the idea? Family goes back to the year 1425. Now, watch this. All right. I'll do the best I can to relay this to you, but you got to listen very carefully, and you're not going to like it none. Now, there's a word here I'm not going to use because I don't like the word. I'm not going to use the word, so I'll just flower it up a little bit, but I don't like the word. It starts with an N, talks about black people. I don't like that word. I hate that word with a purple passion, so I'm not going to use that word. I don't even want to hear my own mouth say that word. I despise that word, so I'm not going to use it. They use it in this letter. We all, white, black, Indian, Hispanic, and Chinese, and whoever else I missed, were all victims of the same enemy. And they have, as I read a little while ago, quote, sown discord among the goyim. And they're doing it today. Again. All right, here we go. Now, old Willie Lynch, ever heard of Lynchburg, Virginia? Ever heard of lynching? Willie Lynch lived back in the early 1700s. Now, old Willie Lynch was black. And he was a slave expert from West Indies. Now, when this letter came out, I'm not sure where exactly it came from, but immediately it was attacked and said it was a hoax. But when you put it together with everything else, you'll find out, no, it was not a hoax. Because that's why I read you everything else before I got to you with this letter. Because it matches everything else. And it was given to slave owners in the early part of the 1700s to an audience at the bank of the James River in Virginia in 1712, control of slaves within the colony. They want to say it's a hoax, like they do the Iron Mountain Report, but everything else has panned out. It's not a hoax. Here's what the letter says. Listen carefully. And everything I've said up to this point has been laying the groundwork. And you white folk out there, you best listen up right quick, because they're doing exactly the same thing to the Goyim. Replace Negro with Goyim, and you got it. So you white folk, you white folk, man, have been under slavery since the day you came to this country, this colony. And you've been under slavery since the year 1400 under the Vatican. That's why you left. Your ancestors did, anyway. And they have put white folk as slave owners of the blacks, and keep secret the white folks were still slaves and didn't even know it the whole time, under financial obligation, even traded on the stock market, you are, with a birth certificate. And people didn't know that. But they're using the same techniques they used in the blacks that the whites were using. And to placate them, they made them seem like they were slave owners, when in reality, they're being controlled by the Illuminati themselves, as evidenced by the debt we acquired in 1789, 1859, and 1929. And then about 10 years ago, give or take, plus or minus, ho, you discovered that white folk is under a tyrannical government and you are slaves, and you didn't like it, did you? No, because they want you to know. Why? Because they want you to have another armed revolution. Why? To justify martial law. Complex, I know, but it works. Willie Lynch letter. This speech was delivered by Willie Lynch on the bank of the James River in the colony of Virginia, 1712. Lynch was a British slave owner of the West Indies. He was invited to the colony of Virginia in 1712, and that to teach his methods to slave owners there, he's invited by the Rothschilds. Rothschilds were German. Bauer, B-A-U-E-R, German. Roman Illuminati. Changed their name to Rothschild to give it a Jewish flavor. So the term lynching is derived from his last name. Now, here's what they did. He said, I quote, "Gentlemen, I greet you here on the bank of the James River in the year of our Lord, 1712. First, I shall thank you, the gentlemen of the colony of Virginia, for bringing me here. I am here to help you solve some of your problems with slaves. Your invitation reached me on my modest plantation in the West Indies, where I've experimented with some of the newest and still the oldest methods of control of slaves. Ancient Rome would envy us if my program is implemented. As our boat sails south of the James River, named for our illustrious king, whose version of the Bible we cherish, I saw enough to know that your problem is not unique." See, quote, a break. So they use religion as a coverall. Sound familiar today? Continuing. "While Rome used cords of wood as crosses for standing human bodies along its highways in great numbers, you're here using the tree and the rope on occasions. I caught the whiff of a dead slave hanging from a tree a couple miles back. You're not only losing valuable stock by hangings, you're having uprisings, slaves are running away, your crops are sometimes left in the fields too long for maximum profit. You suffer occasional fires, your animals are killed. Gentlemen, you know what your problems are. I do not need to elaborate. I'm not here to enumerate your problems. I'm here to introduce you to a method of solving them." Remember, this is 1712, to a black owner, expert to white owners in the South, the Bible Belt, by the way. Continuing. "In my bag here, I have a foolproof method for controlling your black slaves. I guarantee every one of you that if installed correctly, it will control the slaves for at least 300 years. My method is simple. Any member of your family or your overseer can use it. I have outlined a number of differences among the slaves, and I take these differences and make them bigger. I use fear, distrust, and envy for control purposes." Break. So does that sound familiar today? In 1960s, 1940s, 1920s, Not 1800s. It should. They've been doing it ever since. To everybody. Continuing. These methods have worked on my modest plantation in the West Indies and worked throughout the South. Take this simple little list of differences and think about them. On top of my list is age. But it's there only because it starts with an A. The second is color or shade. There is intelligence, size, sex, sizes of plantations, status on plantations, attitude of owners, whether slaves live in the valley or in a hill, east, west, north, south, have fine hair, coarse hair, tall, short. Now, you have a list of differences. I shall give you an outline of an action. But before that, I shall assure you that distrust is stronger than trust and envy. That distrust is stronger than trust and envy stronger than adulation or respect or admiration. The black slaves, after receiving this indoctrination, shall carry on and will become self-refueling and self-generating for hundreds of years, maybe thousands. Don't forget, you must pitch the old black male versus the young black male and the young black male against the old black male. You must use dark-skinned slaves versus light-skinned slaves and the light-skinned slaves versus the dark-skinned slaves. You must use the female versus the male and the male versus the female. You must also have white servants and overseers who distrust all blacks. But it's necessary that your slaves trust and depend on us. They must love, respect, and trust only us. Gentlemen, these kits are your keys to control. Use them. Have your wives and children use them. Never miss an opportunity. If used intensively for 1 year, the slaves themselves will remain perpetually distrustful. Thank you, gentlemen. Now, that was the introduction. They have done this to America since 1492, right up till today, with the technology available, and see how they've done it all through our entire history. I'll read you again. Brought Chris home. To achieve world government, it's necessary to remove from the minds of men their individualism, loyalty to family tradition, national patriotism, and religious dogmas, unquote. Ruth Bader Ginsburg based a report on the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights in 1977 that federal government should draft women in the military and assign them to combat duty and apply affirmative action to the armed forces in order to equalize the number of men and women. This was to, quote, eliminate traditional feminine roles. And then in her same report, she said, I quote, eliminate traditional family concept of the husband as a breadwinner, wife as homemaker, and integrate all male, all female organizations, such as Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, fraternities, sororities. This was to eliminate traditional male roles. And then they came up with in 1989, the UN General Assembly approved the United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child. 20th nation ratified the treaty September 2nd, 1990. The treaty is in force, but the United States did not sign the convention, and there was a pressure from Hillary Clinton and others to ratify. And the purpose of the International Rights of the Child is to take the children away from the families in the schools, allow them to euthanize themselves if they want to. That's correct. That's why they will eliminate homeschooling. Are you all getting the idea here? You understand how this actually works? I'm telling you how it works. It's not an opinion. It's what they've done. They lose. Because Jesus Christ didn't kick their butt. But you must seek Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because this world is going to go away. God's not going to let this go on much longer. And there's not a darn thing they can do about it. When God allows Satan his first 3.5 years, Satan knows he's got a long, he's got a short wait and a long time in hell looking forward to him. So he's going to pick up the pace. Spiritual warfare is the way to go. Spiritual warfare is your only weapon. It's not to sit back and do nothing. It's to pray and fast and pray against these people. And to spread the word of the gospel is the best weapon you got. And stop fighting among yourselves. That's what Martin Luther King tried to do. And that's why he was a dangerous man to them. As was JFK, Malcolm X, and Bobby Kennedy. Now you understand. I'm not done yet. Continuing what he did. Continuing the letter. Quote, let's make a slave. So now you see, the North American continent, indigenous population was Indians and Mexicans. They were here first. And they look like Arabs, don't they? Because the North American continent was divided in Genesis 10:25 from the Middle East by water. God divided the land. Uh-huh. Yeah. Wherever they landed, wherever the cultures were for 10 generations plus, that changed the cultures to what we have today. Oh, yeah. After Genesis 10:25, at the Tower of Babel, God divided the people. God divided. God was a segregationist. Why? So we cannot come together and plot against him. You ever read the Tower of Babel? You ever read about the Tower of Babel? Where God changed the languages so man could not get together and plot against him? Now you got it. He divided the language. He divided the people. Satan was trying to bring everybody back together. Under one culture, DNA-wise, too. So he can have his new world order. So while the differences are there, instead of all loving each other and caring about each other, even though we're different in skin color and all that, so what? He said, okay, I cause them to fight each other. Now you get it? So when you get through fighting enough, you want them to come together, and that's the new world order. Okay. So after white man left Europe, because they're getting murdered by the Vatican, 68 million people, from 1200 to 1800 A.D., when they stopped the mass slaughter of human beings in the Vatican. 68 million people. 1200 A.D. 1800 A.D. it stopped. That would make you want to move, wouldn't it? Yep. So now here comes white man into the North American continent. So now you got two cultures, Indian and white. Now 1712, y'all get it? Here comes the blacks. Why? Forced into the North American continent by the Rothschilds for the New World Order to start the integration of all cultures into one. And that's the North American continent. And that's the New Age plan. And that's New Atlantis. And that's what they have accomplished. Y'all understand this? That's what it's all about. Then they caused World War III, which is yet to happen, to eliminate all others except for their choices. But it's not going to turn out the way they expected whatsoever. Promise you. Because in the Bible, it's called the Great Tribulation. The seven trumpets and the seven seals. And that's God's wrath upon these evil. God's people won't be there then. Not during the seven trumpets, nor during the seven seals. That's God's wrath upon this earth. He'll pound it to a pulp. Armageddon. And then a new heaven and new earth will come after that. After 1,000 years. Okay, I kind of got off there a little bit, but moving on. Here's what he did. Quote, Willie Lynch's letter continuing. This is when now they focus on the third culture group that's been introduced in the North American continent, the blacks. The whites been made slaves and was kept silent and secret, so whites wouldn't even know it. It's worked perfectly. People still think we have a constitution. People still think we're not a colony of England. They think we're actually a sovereign country. Even today, and we're not. We haven't been since 1776. Okay. Quote, it was the interest and business of slaveholders to study human nature, and the slave nature in particular. White folk, you are too. with a view to practical results. Quote, I and many of them, they say, attained astonishing proficiency in this direction. They had to deal not with earth, wood, and stone, but with men. And by every regard they had for their own safety and prosperity, they needed to know the material on which they were to work, conscious of the injustice and wrong they were every hour perpetrating, and knowing what they themselves would do. Were they the victims of such wrongs? They were constantly looking for the first signs of the dreaded retribution. They watched, therefore, with skilled and practiced eyes, and learned to read with great accuracy the state of mind and heart of the slave. Through his sable face, unusual sobriety, apparent abstractions, and sullenness, and indifference indeed, any mood out of the common were afforded ground for suspicion and inquiry. Frederick Douglass, Let's Make a Slave, is a study of the scientific process of man-breaking and slave-making. It describes the rationale and results of the Anglo-Saxons' ideas and methods of ensuring the master-slave relationship. Let's Make a Slave, the original and development of a social being called the Negro. Let's us make a slave. What do we need? First of all, and I don't like this word, I'm not going to say it, but I'm going to use the word Negro instead of it. I hate this word. We need a black Negro man, and they use the slang word, which I hate indignantly, but they do that because they call you white folk and everybody else goyim. You see, you got to dehumanize the target for all of humanity. The high up, the elite, call the humankind, of no matter what race they are, as goyim. It's not a Jewish point. And they want to make it look like Jewish to point the Jews as the bad guys. But this is the Luciferians and the Great White Brotherhood. That's the fallen angels using their secret societies to call everybody else goyim. Uh-huh. The original and development of a social being called the Negro, let's make a slave. What do we need? Well, first of all, you need a black, the word I don't like, Negro man, a pregnant Negro woman, and her baby Negro boy. Second, we use the same basic principle we use in breaking a horse, combined with some of the more sustaining factors. What we do with horses is that we break them from one form to life to another. That is, we reduce them from their natural state in nature, whereas nature provides them with the natural capacity to take care of their offspring. We break the natural strain of independence from them and thereby create a dependency status so we may be able to get with them useful production for our business and pleasure. Cardinal principles. Quote, for fear that our future generations may not understand the principles of breaking both the beast together, the Negro and the horse, we understand that short-range planning economics results in periodic economic chaos. So to avoid turmoil in the economy, it requires us to have breadth and depth and long-range comprehensive planning, articulating both skill and sharp perceptions. We lay down the following principles for long-range comprehensive economic planning. Both horse and Negroes are no good to the economy if both are wild in natural state, but must be broken, tied together for orderly production, for orderly future. Many people are sick. And special particular attention must be paid to the female and the youngest offspring. Both must be crossbred to obtain a variety and division of labor. Now, what they did here, they sleep while you're awake and awake while you sleep. They're dangerous near the family horse house. It requires too much labor to keep them away from the house. And what they want to do here, and let me fast forward through this. Okay. You must keep your eye and thoughts on the female and offspring of the horse and the Negro. A brief discourse in offspring development will shed light on the key to sound economic principles. Pay little attention to the generation of original breaking out, but concentrate on future generation. Therefore, if you break the female mother, she will break the offspring in its early years of development. And when the offspring is old enough to work, she'll deliver it up to you, for a normal female protection tendencies will have been lost in the original breaking process. Now, break. They needed the nuclear family after 1800. Why? Because they were preparing for the First, Second World War. They need the family structure. They know from the 1700s, to destroy a country, you had to destroy the family. This is a principle. And then we go back to what I read you before with Dr. Brock Chisholm and the Humanist Manifesto. To destroy the family, you destroy the country. That's what feminism is all about. That's why feminism was funded by the Rockefellers. That's why they want to take your children away with the International Rights of the Child, United Nations Convention. You see how they do this? It's quite ingenious, actually, but they plan generations ahead. And this is slam dunk. This is not even an opinion. You see, I've been given this knowledge along the way, and I'm trying to impart it to people. But such a small number, really. But you can fight this through prayer and fasting. What's been done to all of us is Luciferian, and Luciferian only. With humans, it's following this Luciferian agenda. Continuing. If you break the female mother, she'll break the offspring in its early years of development. And when the offspring is old enough to work, she'll deliver it up to you. For her normal female protective tendencies will have been lost in the original breaking process. Okay. For example, take the case of a wild stud horse, a female horse, already infant horse. Compare the breaking process with two captured Negro males in their natural state. A pregnant Negro woman with her infant offspring. Take the stud horse, break him for limited containment. Completely break the female horse until she becomes very gentle, whereas you or anybody can ride her in her comfort. Breed the mare and the stud until you have the desired offspring. You get that? Genetic experimentation began in the year 1712. Over a period of 300 years. Well, actually 200 years. Look at sports today. What they did to us. They lose. Because Jesus Christ is coming back. It's about spiritual warfare. It's not physical. It's not culture. It's not race and all that. This is something spiritual. It goes back a long time ago. Continuing. Then you can turn the stud to freedom until you need him again. Train the female horse, whereby she will eat out of your hand. She will then turn and train the infant horse to eat out of your hand also. When it comes to breaking the uncivilized Negro, use the same process, but vary the degree and step up the pressure so as to do a complete reversal of the mind. Take the meanest and the most restless Negro, strip him of his clothes in front of the remaining, this is bad, in front of the remaining male Negroes, the female and the Negro infants, tar and feather him, tie each leg to a different horse, face in opposite directions, set him on fire, and beat both horses to pull them apart in front of the remaining Negroes. The next step is to take a bull whip and beat the remaining Negroes, males, to the point of death in front of the female and the infant. Don't kill him, but put the fear of God in him. He could be useful for future breeding. Family, do you understand the evil that's been put in this country by the Illuminati? Do you all understand what's really going on? I'm telling you exactly what's happening and what they've done, you see, and what you're up against. And what you're up against is supernatural, not natural. And you're up against secret societies that have been lied to themselves. And they themselves are in control because they're under a blood oath. And then to talk about here the breaking process of the African woman. And they test her in every way. They talk about how they do that, how they've done it all along. And this is, now listen, this is what's going on today. They've now taken traditional male roles, driving race cars, playing football, frontline units fighting men against men, other things. And they've put on the news and put on the actual events women in control. I don't carry the way. I'm just telling you how they've done it. So now women are doing what men used to do, and men are doing what women used to do. As a matter of fact, they put it in the movies. How about Arnold Schwarzenegger when he got pregnant in the movie, remember? How about Mr. Mom? You see, this is not just, you know, funny little ha-ha movies. These are for brainwashing. The satanic Baphomet is both male and female in gender. That's why they have transgender restrooms. That's why they're changing now Boy Scouts into Boy Girl Scouts. To say that, and transgender restrooms. All this is part of the Bilderberg Club of Rome, Trilateral Commission, United Nations, Royal Institute of International Affairs, Council of Foreign Relations, Study Group, and the Round Table. And their agenda items. You understand this? On the Humanist Manifesto. Now, I got another, actually, well, one page. And you all can look this up yourself and read it yourself, scan over it. You see, they know the way God set this up for the man, just like Cain and Abel, just like Adam and Eve. When they sinned, Adam had to work. Eve stayed home and did what she had to do, you know, and comfort the children. And Adam was supposed to be the disciplinary, just like Father in Heaven is our disciplinary. Holy Spirit comforts us. Well, the Holy Spirit ain't female. But there's a certain way. And then, according to the Bible, the male, not only does he be the provider, but he also loves the woman as Christ loved the church. They tend to forget to read that, you know. But that's what it says. So almost you're working for her, almost. yeah, I know that didn't make some of you happy when I said that. But nevertheless, but they've convoluted all this up to where we fight each other now. Edward Bernays, when he was going to release the women out of bondage, oh yeah, the first part was to light the cigarette of freedom. See, it follows an 8-step program. You put the country in bondage, or the culture. You develop a spiritual faith or a movement that gives them courage, independence, because they have courage now to get independence. That's 4 steps. And the 5th step is they get abundance of what they didn't have before, whether it's freedom or cigarettes or food or freedom or whatever. Then they get selfish. They get, the next one is, apathy, and then dependence, back to bondage. It's a 250-year process of development, the 8 steps I just told you. That's correct. It's done for every culture. Now you see the history books are worthless. They don't tell you what I've just told you. And this ain't about me. I go about my business and I'm not selling books or CDs. I don't want to write no stupid book. I don't write no CD. I got one book and one book alone that I'm concerned about. I don't make no money off of it. I don't want no darn money. What I want is to preach the word of God, and that's the King James Bible. And that's it. And that's non-negotiable. You see? That's it. You know, and there's only one book. Literally. And the book wasn't written by men. It's handwritten by men, but it's inspired by God himself through the Holy Spirit. And those who walk with Jesus and God himself talk to men, that be Moses, that wrote the Old Testament, the Masoretic text, the rest of the Torah, is baloney. The rest of the text of the Torah is whatever. You know, as men writing it, Jewish writing it, I don't care what. But the Masoretic text, the first five books of the Torah, is God's word to Moses. And Moses wrote it down on scrolls of some kind. And it's passed on as a scripture for the New Testament, folks. That's it. And then the New Testament were the disciples and prophets, but disciples that walked with God in human flesh. His name was Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And then he was in his ministry at 33, was taken up after he died, rose again, alive in a new body, by the way. And you know, no other figure in all of history has been able to fake it again, ever. Not one, ever. How about that? Because he had witnesses. 500 at one time that he had ascended into heaven and wasn't no stupid UFO neither. It was supernaturally ascended to the Father. And then 10 days later came the Pentecost. Holy Spirit went across 120 souls and they went out and started preaching the gospel. And that's when tongues really was used. Not like it is today. Tongues today is satanic. Tongues back then, you had an interpreter. Tongues back then, they spoke a language and everybody understood what they were saying. Tongues today is of Satan. No doubt about it. Kundalini spirit. Holy laughter, holy drunkenness. That's not of God. That's of Satan. And Satan has more of these churches today than any time, any place else. And most of the preachers today are placating and they're not preaching salvation and redemption and repentance. And they'll answer to God for that. Meantime, what we got to do, pray, fast, preach the gospel and the truth, and have courage to do it. Right now it's practice. You see what's been done. I didn't read you all this because I'm running out of time. But you look up the, now you're going to find, just like the Iron Mount report, they say, well, it's a hoax. Willie Lynch paper is a hoax. Well, for a hoax, it's pretty accurate. I'll tell you that right now. They also want to completely annihilate the mother tongue. And they have accomplished that. You see? Because you see, Latin was Satan's language because nobody understood it. So the Vatican could interpret the Bible the way they wanted to in Latin. They could read it and then interpret it in English. Well, see, English was a universal language. It's a universal language of Satan. But English, God knew, would be universal. And so when it came to English, that's why the Vatican tried to stop the translation of Latin into English by Erasmus. And Wycliffe and Tyndale, they didn't want it in English. You see, they wanted to control it. That's why they wanted to stop, wanted to keep it in Latin. That's why they wanted to stop King James. They launched a 1588 armada against England and it failed. They wanted to stop at all costs the Bible being translated into English because English was going to be the universal language. As a matter of fact, when I worked for the OSCE in Europe for 5 years, you could not get a job with OSCE, a UN organization, a security chief then, for Kosovo, Eastern region of Kosovo. You could not get a job at OSCE unless you could speak English, no matter what country you're from. You had to be fluent in English. It's a universal language. The King James Bible is in English. It's a universal Bible, too, by George. And not King George III either. Yeah, King James. It's really got a rhythm to it. It's actually got a strategy you can see. See, family, I just touched upon it tonight. And I may cover some more tomorrow, but Martin Luther King, his last speech, told the truth. He's a great man.
forces of the great society have been shut down on the battlefield of Vietnam, making the poor, white and Negro, bear the heaviest burdens both at the front and at home.
You know, wasn't the thing he had to do? I think it was a, it was not a political thing, because as it turned out, I think it was kind of like a death knell for him. But it was a very brave thing for him to do, because he went against all the people, you know, who we considered reasonable.
Others can do what they want to do. That's their business. Other civil rights leaders, for various reasons, refuse or can't take a stand or have to go along with the administration. That's their business. But I must say tonight that I know that justice is indivisible. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. The world now demands a maturity of America that we may not be able to achieve. It demands that we admit that we have been wrong from the beginning of our adventure in Vietnam, that we have been detrimental to the life of the Vietnamese people. The situation is one in which we must be ready to turn sharply from our present ways. The New Testament says, repent. It is time for America to repent now, for the kingdom of God is at hand. As we counsel young men concerning military service, we must clarify for them our nation's role in Vietnam and challenge them with the alternative of conscientious objection. And I say this morning that it is my hope every young man in this country who finds this war objectionable and abominable and unjust would file as a conscientious objector. Now let me tell you the truth about it. They must see Americans as strange liberators. Do you realize that the Vietnamese people proclaim their own independence? In 1945, this way of settling differences is not just sending men home from dark and bloody battlefields, physically handicapped and psychologically deranged, and not be reconciled with wisdom, justice, and love. A nation that continues year after year to spend more money on military defense and on programs of social uplift is approaching spiritual death. Don't let anybody make you think that God chose America as his divine messianic force to be a sort of policeman of the whole world. God has a way of standing before the nations with judgment, and it seems that I can hear God saying to America, you are too arrogant. If you don't change your ways, I will rise up and break the backbone of your power, and I'll place it in the hands of a nation that doesn't even know my name.
You see, family, I joined the Marines because I was a patriot, and I joined strictly to fight. I had no other purpose of joining. I was going to fight, going to Vietnam, kill me a gook, VC, whatever, because they were communist. And that was the sole reason I went in the Marine Corps, and my number was up 42 in 1974. And I said, well, I'm going in, so I might as well go in the Marine Corps, be the first one in there and kill a bunch of those suckers, and then get back and say I'm a hero, or if I don't get back, I die. Okay, fine, too, whatever. That was my attitude then. See, but what I found out in my research, that they had planned, in fact, the Korean War, and the Vietnam War to fail. It was planned to fail. The State Department sent the 7th Fleet to blockade Chiang Kai-shek from crossing over into Red China with 500,000 men. He was going to take Red China back as free, and he would have succeeded. But the State Department, under direction of the Vatican, ensured this didn't happen by blockading Formosa, where he is located, Taiwan, Formosa, with our ships to blockade Chiang Kai-shek. He even offered him 33,000 troops in 4 days from the offer to help fight with our troops, but the State Department declined. The State Department under control of the Vatican, because we are colony, you understand? It's not the government, it's the colony we are. And we're under control of the Vatican, which is under control of the Roman Illuminati. Now you got it. So they made sure that communism stayed in China. Then the Vietnam War, the Agent Orange was used to start the destruction and death of the baby boomers in order to set up what we have today. That was the purpose of Agent Orange, to cause cancer. That was the reason of it. And in fact, because of a memorandum sent to CEOs that were under the military-industrial complex, contractors that would send products to the Eastern Bloc countries, Russia and so forth, that they must continue to deal with these Eastern Bloc countries and not boycott them because they were patriotic companies. And it was against American policy, according to the memorandum sent to them, that you will continue to deal with Russia and the others. Now, here's the purpose of that. As a result of that, the entire specification in that same year was sent to Russia for building a glycerol factory. Glycerol was used as detonators in booby traps. So the Russians would build the glycerol, ship it to the and other equipment pieces that we provided, just like they did in 1928, just like they did in 1917 with Bolshevik Revolution. Wall Street funded the Bolsheviks in 1917-18. Wall Street, also Illuminati Wall Street, funded Hitler in 1928. That's a fact. IG Farben Chemical Cartel, that's a fact. And we also funded, the whole thing is funded by Wall Street, which is controlled by the IMF and controlled by the Vatican. You got it? And so the glycerol was shipped to the VC so they could use the glycerol for their booby traps. And that accounted for 50% of American casualties. Then after Vietnam, they had to set up for the Islamic attack. The Islamic threat was set up by the CIA, Iranian intelligence, Saudi intelligence, Turkish intelligence in Afghanistan. And they moved 10,000 Mujahideen from Afghanistan to Bosnia in late 1980s. That's a fact. This is all Luciferian. It's all planned to lead us to where we are today. Each one with a threat. Liberty, fascism, Nazism, communism. And now it's Muslims. And now it's going to be extraterrestrial. All this is set up ahead of time, family. You understand what I'm talking about here? How detailed this really is? It's worked perfectly so far. But it's going to get slammed in their face. When God says enough is enough, we're going to get into the tribulations, and then comes judgment. You see how it works? That's what the future brings. I look at the bigger picture. I don't look at this petty stuff they got going on. I don't know, Agenda 21 is just boring. FEMA camps, please, give me a break. Nibiru, come, whatever. Nibiru, their HAARP, all that stuff. They try to fake the weather. Oh, yeah, they do. They're trying to fake the tribulations. All this is planned to cause disruption, confusion. So when I get confused with all this nonsense, I go right back to the Bible to know what's going to happen. It's real simple because it's going by the book. And they have to go by the book. And you know what the book says? They lose. Our job is simple. It's to spread the word, the gospel, the truth. That's all it is. All this other is keeps busy. JFK said, "For we oppose around the world by monolithic, ruthless conspiracy that relies on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations, unquote. He's going to take it down. Martin Luther King said, "We must face the appalling fact that we've been betrayed by both the Democratic and Republican parties," unquote. Martin Luther King. Now you know why they were assassinated. Family, y'all have a great night tonight. Know that we won at the cross of Calvary. Jesus Christ won. He defeated Satan at the cross of Calvary. All you got to do is take him as your Savior. That's the bottom line. I want to remind you all that we are broadcasted High Point Radio, highpointradio.net in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and New York. And also KBOU Radio, I believe, simulcast us on occasion. And that's Blue Raven Network. Tonight, 8 o'clock, 8 to 10, I'm going to hit the ground running again on RevelationRadioNetwork.org. And I appreciate y'all's attention today. Thank y'all for coming by. I know it's been a little bit dramatic, maybe. It's what I planned on anyway. And it's certainly not easy listening. But I got to tell y'all the truth. People don't want to hear it. They don't have to listen. But this is non-negotiable. You got to know the truth. And you got to know that you've won already. Which side you going to be on? Not man's side, not Satan's side, but the side that Jesus Christ has set up through his death, resurrection, and he's coming back. Because you know why? Because Jesus Christ is alive. Love one another. Seek the truth. And let's live. Have a great night. God bless.
Guilt and my confusion disappear in sweet relief, and every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.
Good night and God bless.